Good morning. Welcome to worship today on finally a day when the sun is out. I feel like we've had all rainy days in October when we've gathered for worship, so it's wonderful to have you here in the sunshine and be able to see the light streaming in on your faces this morning. Maybe that'll just inspire you to sing out loud as we sing our opening hymn this morning. A lot going on this week and next week in the life of the church. This afternoon, or this evening, I should say, we've got the silly Halloween gathering, and Tina asked me to let you know that you're invited to that too. If you want to come have a hot dog with us, you're welcome to, and see the costumes, even if you're not going to go around and trick-or-treat yourself or bring a child or a grandchild, you're also welcome to come and join us for that. That is from 6 to 8. From 7 to 8:30, middle and high school youth are invited to join us over at the ball field side, and we're going to do glow-in-the-dark capture the flag over there with youth from Lutheran churches throughout the county. So hope if you've got middle or high school youth, let them know about that and come join us at 7 o'clock tonight. Next week is a busy day. We've got worship. And then at 2:30, we're going to have a graveside committal service for Betty Queen out here at the cemetery. So you're certainly invited to that to help us commend her life to God. And then that evening at 7 o'clock next week is an all-county Reformation service where we will gather at Pilgrim Lutheran, which actually is one I've not been to yet, so I'm looking forward to that, for a Reformation service starting at 7 o'clock. Hope many of you can join us for that. That's one of my favorite services of the year, because we get to gather together with our brothers and sisters from other congregations. And generally, we have done this in the last few years in some of the smaller churches, and so you pack a bunch of people into one of these smaller churches and then sing A Mighty Fortress, and it's a lot of fun. We sing loud. So hope some of you can join us for that. Please check out the rest of the announcements in your bulletin. We would love to hear from you if you would be interested in serving on the church council. Please speak with Neil Clark. Are there other announcements we should be aware of today? I'm not aware of prayer shawls. Is anybody else aware of prayer shawls? I'm not seeing anybody waving at me, so I don't think there are. So we'll wish happy birthday this week to Wendy, Bob, Scott, Crystal, Holly, and Jeff, and happy anniversary to Harold and Myra and Michael and Kendra. Anybody we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought or in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us us pray to the Lord.
We pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples of earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated if the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. All right. It's good to see everybody this morning. We are hearing in our reading today Jesus talk about what Jesus has been talking about for a long time, and it's being great and greatness. So some of the disciples are arguing. Does anybody ever argue with their friends or their brother or sister? Sometimes we do. Yeah. They're arguing about they want to be the greatest. They want Jesus to give them the best things and the best seats. They want to be at the front of the line for everything, these disciples, James and John. And the rest of the disciples are sort of upset at James and John. But James and John say, God, we want you to give us the best seats. Will you do that? And Jesus says, actually, if you want to be great, if you want to be first, what you do is you help other people and you serve other people. That's what Jesus says. And Jesus says, you know who's great? God is great. So I thought today we would do a little prayer that talks about God being great. Does anybody know this? It goes like this. God is great. God is good. Anybody heard this before? Yeah? Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. That's a prayer that some people do at their house before they eat. Would you guys learn that with me? Okay, I'm going to say it, and I want you guys to repeat parts of it with me. We're just practicing right now, so you don't have to keep your eyes closed if you don't want to, Mason. We're just practicing. Repeat after me. God is great.
God is great.
God is good.
God is good.
Let us thank him.
For our food.
Let's do all of that together, okay? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Now the next part goes like this. By his hands, we all are fed.
Give us, Lord,
our daily bread.
Okay,
I had to think where we were going to start. Okay, let's try to do all of that together. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. You think we can do the whole thing all the way through? You think you can? Okay. Pray it with me. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. So that's a good prayer because it helps us. First of all, it's good to pray when we have meals
So if you guys at your house need a prayer to say before meals, if you don't have one yet, that's a good one. Or at my house, we do come Lord Jesus. But I like God is great because it reminds us that we don't have to worry about being great. What we have to worry about is helping other people and being kind to other people. And God is the one who's great. So it helps us remember that. Let's do that prayer one more time. And then those of you who are going to children's church can go to children's church or you can go back to your seats. Let's pray. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can head to Children's Church in that line over there if you're going to go to Children's Church, or we can go back and sit with our parents at our seats, which is good, too.
The first lesson is from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make this life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 91. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place.
No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name.
When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them.
With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
The second reading is from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God and on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron did. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You're my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, and with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, but their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Okay, public service announcement here briefly before we get to the sermon. We've had on the back cover, the inside of the back cover, I should say, for several weeks, these little ELCA disaster response hurricane briefs. And I just want to draw your attention to that. I know my dad was in New Bern this past week, and there's a congregation there, one of our congregations, that had 18 families completely lose their house and everything inside of it. I know you're seeing this on the news. I just wanted to say we're not doing a giant fill a truck effort this week. Those efforts are good and well placed sometimes. But what we're doing is commending this to you. ELCA Disaster Response is sort of unique in the nonprofit sphere of relief organizations because it its overhead expense, staffing, and those sorts of things are part of the ELCA budget. So anytime you donate to them, you're not donating 90 cents on the dollar to them and 10 cents, you know, is going to administrative costs or whatever. 100% goes to them because that's part of our ELCA budget. That's part of what our tithes and offerings go to, is to cover those costs so that that money can be used 100% for the things that we donate it for. So you can put checks or cash in the offering plate for us, you know, and we'll send that on, or you can go to their website, which I believe is on here, and do it. If you go to thrivent.com, I believe they are still matching. You don't have to be a Thrivent member, but if you are donating $50, they'll match it up till, I think, till they've matched $1 million or something. So this has not been something we've talked about a ton, but there are people in need, so I commend that to you. So when I work with small groups, one of the things that I most often do, almost always in fact, is I ask people to share something about what's going on in their lives, and then we pray for each other based on what they've shared. And usually I ask people to share a high and a low. It's a good way for the group to get to know each other and to know what people are going through in their lives. And it's a good way for us to get in the habit of praying for one another. I have to tell you that there are an awful lot of adults who are very uncomfortable praying out loud in front of other people. And that's why, even though I don't have any special prayer powers or anything, you all always wait on me to get back here and pray before a meal. And sometimes it's a little ridiculous. Like, I know I'm hungry and I know people in here are hungry, but I'm caught out here speaking with somebody. And I'm like, we can deputize somebody else to pray. Because you all can pray just as effectively as I can. And if you haven't noticed, I say pretty much the same thing every time, right? So anyway, that's an aside. But this exercise of having people pray for each other is helpful, whether it's adults or kids, because how do you get better at something you don't feel like you're good at if you don't practice it? And besides just getting over the nervousness about standing up in front of people, sometimes part of what needs practice is actually what we pray for and how. This comes up in confirmation every fall when we start with a new group of kids. Because if what Jacob shares with his high for this week is that the Eagles won, and what Wilson says is his low is that the Eagles won, well, middle schoolers need some help knowing how to pray around that. I can't remember which one of them is an Eagles fan, but one of them is. But are we going to pray for opposite things at that point? There's a little bit of tension, right? Lord, thank you for letting the Eagles win. Lord, please make the Eagles lose next time. It's not a faithful prayer particularly, is it? It's about what we want and not what God wants. And what we want can be pretty messed up sometimes. And it can be in direct conflict with what my neighbor wants, right? So instead, we might do a little teaching with the confirmation students and say, hey, you know, it is fine for a sports event to be your high or your low for the week. But the way that we pray around that is not to ask for a win or a loss. Better would be something like, Lord, thank you for the opportunities for recreation that you give us, including sports. And when we become too wrapped up in the outcomes of games, help us to see what really matters. Help us to live for what's important, relationships with you and each other. Those are the kind of prayers we hope we're growing toward, ones that can acknowledge the gifts God gives us in things like sports, but also ask that where we've overdone it, that God would call us back to a faithful place, which is good because prayer, I think, most faithfully, is not the same as a Christmas list. God, please give me the winning number on the Mega Millions. Anybody pray that this week? God, please let my team win this game. Those things may not have much or anything to do with God's kingdom, right? They're all about what I want, and what I want can actually be bad for me. What I want can go against God's kingdom. And this is where James and John are here in the 10th chapter of Mark. Jesus, we want you to give us whatever we ask for. Which should throw up some red flags right away, right? Tell me you'll do it before I tell you what it is. Never ends well, I don't think. They say to Jesus, give us the best seats, the most power, the highest honor when you come into your glory. And if Jesus were out to manipulate his followers,
Well, maybe he would have said, sure, I'll give you all of that when I come in glory. Just for now, keep doing what I say, right? But that's not how Jesus operates. He's not a manipulator. So Jesus tells James and John and the rest of the 12 that whoever wants to become great must be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. James and John get it really wrong, and we would hope they would have had a little more sense at this point, because if you've been following along, for like three chapters now, Jesus has been talking about a different kind of greatness and a different kind of power. But I still think we ought to view James and John fairly charitably here, because probably what's going on is that they're terrified. I mean, they're all in with Jesus. They've left everything to follow him. And now they're following Jesus toward Jerusalem, which is the center of all the hostility that's been radiating out against Jesus. They're going straight toward the problem area. And Jesus has told them that he's going to be killed by the authorities. So I imagine, as one of his followers who's left it all and thrown in their lot with this guy, this has got to be frightening for them. So maybe it's not surprising that James and John want to puff up their own stature a little bit. They're feeling threatened, so they're grasping for what they see as the security of greatness and priority. Have we been there? In our culture, it's not always about honor exactly, but I think we do tend to do the same kinds of things when we're afraid. When we feel vulnerable, we look for something to reassure us. We want a political figure or a set of laws enacted to guard our security, our priority, our greatness. We want more money to give us stability and comfort. We look for something earthly to save us. But the only one who can save us in the end, we know, is Jesus. And Jesus has been trying to make a different point now for several chapters in Mark about a different version of greatness. It's not about who is the most honored or revered. Jesus has a different mission, and that's to serve. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus refuses to play games of who is the greatest, and instead calls us to follow him in service to others. Because here's the thing, no matter how high we climb the ladder, no matter how much we get in our bank account, it is never and will never be enough to save us from the power of sin and death. I'm not worthy, and you're not either in God's eyes. But in spite of our unworthiness, God loves you so much that Jesus gives his life for you and for the sake of the world. God claims you and calls you anyway. Precious child, I love you. The world's greatness doesn't matter to God. What does matter is that by water and word, we are set free from the final power that sin and death hold over us. And what we are set free for is not so we can climb higher toward a sense of security. What we're set free by Jesus for is stooping down and serving our neighbors in love. That's what our freedom should be used for. Where culture tells us that being the first is what it's about. Jesus calls BS. What it's about, he says, is service to others. Freed and forgiven, apart from our worth, our call and our mission as the church is this: to be in faithful relationship with God and one another, and to invite others into those relationships. And you know what? We can do this without being overcome by fear, even though the world admittedly is scary, because in Jesus Christ, your salvation is already paid up. In Jesus, your sins are already forgiven. Through baptism, you receive God's gift of eternal life. So if you find yourself anxious or afraid, if you notice yourself praying for things that are more about you than they are about God, if you can't get anything to come out in your prayer life other than help me get those Mega Millions numbers this week, then here's your prayer. Lord, make me a faithful servant. Lord, make me a faithful servant. Amen.
us confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy God, open lines of communication within your church, enabling us to listen to each person's voice and to lift up each person's unique gifts for your sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Fill creation, God, from mountain peaks to the deepest valleys with your invigorating spirit. Give strength and provision to animals and people that prepare for colder weather. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant, God, your spirit of humility to those who hold authority. Direct political leaders to live in service to their citizens, and turn our eyes and our hearts toward our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guard and protect, Lord, the ones who call to you out of despair, illness, or injury. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Wilson, Ann, Jean, Tony, Dwight, and all those we name now. Deliver them, God, from their struggles into havens where they can find healing and faithful companionship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bear the pain, God, of people who are denied justice, especially when it results in violence or death. Bring your peaceful rule into the world for the sake of all who are oppressed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
go in peace, serve the Lord.